This morning we continue a sermon series called Taking the Next Step, and it is all about how we are growing as people of faith, as disciples of Jesus Christ, and as members of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Each one of us is on a journey, and we recognize that the only way to move forward on a journey is to take the next step. And so this month, throughout the holy season of Lent and throughout the month of March, we're trying to imagine and envision ways that we can do that together as the body of Christ. I want to read from the Gospel of John for you, and before I read the scripture passage, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on right before these verses come up. Jesus is having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because that was a safe time where he could have a private conversation with Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, which means that he's a teacher, he's a lawyer, he is someone who has mastered the Jewish faith and the Jewish law, the Torah, and yet he has questions, which is a little unusual. It's a little uncomfortable for Nicodemus to have questions. And so he goes to Jesus as a rabbi, but he goes to him in a secret, in a private place, and he confronts him and he says, "Rabbi, teacher, Jesus, I understand everything there is to know about my faith. Intellectually, I've studied the laws, I've studied the scriptures, I know what to do, and I try my hardest to do it." He's making this like perfectionist confession of sorts to Jesus. He says, "I get it, I really do, but what I want to know is how do I get it in my heart? How do I connect what's in my head with my heart?" And this is what Jesus says back to him. In John 3:11 through 16. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And here are the really familiar verses that we know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Nicodemus is a guy who wants to get it right. Like I said, he's a perfectionist who has studied what it means to do good, to love God and neighbor, and to live his faith every day. And he doesn't want to trip up. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He doesn't want to be condemned for doing something wrong in the eyes of his worshiping community, in the eyes of his rabbi, in the eyes of anyone in the public sphere in which he interacts. And so he tries his best. He tries his best to live his faith every day. But yet he wants to take the next step. He wants to go deeper. He wants to follow Jesus and whatever kind of movement Jesus is a part of. And what Jesus is inviting the people to do is to come and follow him, to believe with their whole heart, their whole mind, their whole strength, and all that they are. And so Nicodemus recognizes that there's a disconnect for him. He follows Jesus with his mind and with his strength, but he doesn't know what it means to follow Jesus with his heart. And so Jesus sits him down late at night, and they have this private conversation. And Jesus tries to explain it. Nicodemus, you've done everything right, but you're kind of coming at this the wrong way. There isn't anything you need to do in order for God to love you. There isn't anything you need to say or think or teach or work at in order for you to earn God's love. God knows who you are. God loves you and accepts you just as you are with your big, beautiful brain. And God is with you in relationship. God invests in you. God pours into you. God walks with you each and every day, no matter if you understand it or if you are questioning it or if you are struggling to get it in any way, shape, or form in your mind or in your body or in your heart. And this kind of rocks Nicodemus' world a little bit, right? It kind of rocks our world too. Because so often we're taught that in order to get something, we have to give something, right? There's this economy, there's this exchange or a transaction that takes place. Sometimes it's economic. If you go to the grocery store and you want to buy a cartload of food for your family, well, you've got to give something. You've got to pay something in order to get those things, right? If you see a new sweater on the rack that you would like to take home and wear and enjoy its warmth, well, you have to give something in order to get something. Even sometimes in the midst of our earthly relationships, in the midst of our marriages, in the midst of our parenting, in the midst of our neighboring, we think about these kinds of transactions. Maybe if I bake my neighbor a pie, he'll mow his lawn. Maybe if I take my kids on a vacation, they'll love me more. Maybe if I do X, Y, or Z for my boss and do it just the right way, in the way that she asks, I'll get a raise. There's these exchanges, right? There's these contracts, these transactions that we think we need to do something in order to get something in return. We need to do something in order to earn what we want or what we need. But it's totally different with God. God's love is free. God's love is extravagant. God's love is generous. God's love is unconditional. God's love is abundant. And when we use these words to talk about God's love, sometimes it trips us up a little bit. It confuses us. We think, oh, I am not worth it. I don't deserve it. I've made so many mistakes. I haven't done anything to earn it. And yet God says, you are my child, you are beloved, and you are precious. And I came into this world not to condemn it, but so that everyone who believes in me but will have eternal life. So that everyone who believes in me will never have to doubt their worth, will never have to doubt whether anyone loves them, will never have to question whether who they are matters in my eyes. God calls us to this kind of reckoning, this sorting out of the truth of this matter in the Gospel of John and in these verses. And we want to apply it to our stewardship campaign, to our generosity campaign, because that kind of love, that kind of generosity, that kind of gift is the very foundation upon which we are able to respond as people of faith. That's the very foundation from which we are able to give gifts back to God, to our community, and to each other as brothers and sisters in faith. We want to talk about the ways in which we emphasize giving as part of our spiritual journey, as part of our discipleship, as part of the way we follow Jesus, not as a reaction to what God has done or what we want God to do in our lives, but rather as a response to what God is already doing and as a prayer of thanksgiving for the ways in which God is working actively in and through our lives. I would never say to you that I want you to give money or I want you to give time or I want you to give of your things, your precious things, because that's what you need to do in order for God to love you more, or in order for you to get into heaven, or in order for you to help other people understand what it means to be a Christian. what I hope and pray that together we can do is that out of a recognition of all that we are and all that we have and how much God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us, that we would feel honored, we would feel inspired, we would feel grateful. And then out of the source of that abundance, out of the source of that realization and that awakening, that we would want to say thank you in some form or fashion. Now, I'm a person that says thank you quite easily. I'm a person that journals about how grateful I am at night. I try to come up with 5 things every day that I'm grateful for, and I write them down in my journal before I go to bed. It helps keep me grounded. It helps keep me positive. It helps keep me rooted in my faith. I'm also a person who likes to write thank you notes, and I still send them by snail mail because I think it's really fun to get snail mail every once in a while. It's not like junk, right? Yeah, it's really fun. I get a lot of ads from like Plum Market. I'm like, who are these people? Do they just come to my mailbox no matter what? I have never been to a Plum Market. I don't even know where one is. But they know me for some reason. Anyway, but if I get a note in the mail, I get so excited. Those little tiny cards that come with a real stamp and with real handwriting on the front make me so excited. And so I try to give that gift to others as well. I send thank you notes if you're involved in the church, if you visit the church. I send thank you notes to family and friends if they've done something for me. And I help my son Michael write thank you notes when he gets gifts. He gets a lot of stuff. He's the only grandchild in our family. He's spoiled rotten, so we write a lot of thank you notes. I also try to call people and tell them how much they mean to me and say thank you so much for listening, for being a conversation partner for me, for walking this life journey with me, for praying for me. I'm a person who can get up on stage and do what I do every week. And gratitude always flows out of me as I thank all the volunteers, the ambassadors and the tech team and the praise team for being here on Sunday morning, for making church happen for all of us every week. That's why I make Sam do things like introducing your band, right? Because I'm grateful. It's with a grateful heart that I want to be ebullient and effusive and expressive about how much God has given us and how much we have to be grateful for. That's the kind of thing that motivates me to give of myself, to give of my time and my talent and my treasure week in and week out. I always say thank you when our kids help in worship because this is the learning ground for them. This is the place where their faith is nurtured. When they hear the words of the music, when they sit beside their brothers and sisters in faith, when they get to help collect the noisy offering, they are learning about what it means to be disciples. They're learning about what it means to be followers. And we always want to teach our kids that no matter who they are or where they come from, that God loves them no matter what. That their life matters, that they are beautiful, and that there is nothing that can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This morning, our kids took an offering for Habitat for Humanity of Oakland County. And as I was tying together the parts of our service and my sermon this week, I thought about a Habitat story that I want to tell you related to gratitude and taking the next step. My husband's name is Joel, and his grandfather's name is Jack. And Grandpa Jack was an avid volunteer with Habitat for Humanity in Wexford County. Wexford County is up north. They lived in Cadillac, Michigan. And when Jack retired from the Army Corps of Engineers, he spent about 2 weeks at home working his way through the honey-do list and playing with the kids. They had 4 boys and taking care of the house and the yard. And after about 2 weeks, he was fed up with all of that. And he says, I've got to do something. I've got to do something with my hands. I've got to do something with my... Excuse me, I've got to do something with my mind again in a meaningful way. And so he went to his pastor at Cadillac First United Methodist Church and started asking some questions about where were their needs and where could he be useful and where might God be calling him to serve. And the pastor recommended Habitat for Humanity. So Jack got involved in Habitat for Humanity. He became one of the crew supervisors who would go to the work sites, whether it was a fresh build or a rehab, where they were repairing roofs or siding or gutters or putting in more insulation or building wheelchair ramps onto porches or things like that. And he got to use all those skills that he had as an engineer. All the math, all the logic, all the things he knew how to do. And not only that, but he got to be in relationship with people. The volunteer crews, the homeowners that were working their way with sweat equity to independence and sustainability. And he built relationships with all these folks. And he did that with his faith and with his heart. He served in the community in Cadillac in Wexford County for about 10 years as an active volunteer for Habitat for Humanity. Every Saturday, he was out someplace in the community building, and he worked on over 25 homes in the course of those 10 years. When his body got to a place where he couldn't do all of the physical labor that was demanded of him to put the trusses up on the roof and to carry the shingles up to where they needed to go and things like that, he stepped back from the work sites, but then he remained an active part of their leadership board, of their executive volunteer team that screened the applicants and the candidates, that coordinated all of the efforts in the county, that raised the money for this incredible charity with other local churches like us. Jack served another 4 years on that board before he got too sick to continue serving. And the executive team, the volunteer board, honored Jack in a meaningful way at his last meeting. They gave him a golden hammer, a golden hammer award with a plaque. And it was a hammer that he used that was usually tucked in his tool belt on his hip. And they had it encased somehow in this shiny, I don't actually think it was gold. Probably another metal, something precious and shiny. And then they made him a plaque. And then the very next build that they began that year was dedicated in his honor. And all 25 families that had been recipients of Habitat Homes in Wexford County over the last 10 years came out to a reception. And his family and his church and his friends were invited, and the community showed up, and they had a little surprise party for Jack where they presented everyone with new volunteer t-shirts for the next Habitat build in Wexford County. And they presented him with his Golden Hammer Award, and they dedicated the next build to Jack Fitzgerald. This man who was humble, who was trying to find a way to keep his sanity in retirement and to maintain the health of his marriage at home, was simply trying to serve. He was motivated by the way that God's grace had been active and working in and through his life, through his whole career, and through raising his family, and for providing for him each and every day so that he had the things that he needed. And then he wanted to respond. He wanted to offer a gift to someone else. And so he did that in the best way he knew how. And then the amazing component of generosity, the amazing component of gratitude that we all witnessed on that day when we gathered was the faces of the homeowners that he had built a relationship with, the gratitude that they expressed as they now had a safe, affordable working home to live in, as they worked together side by side for hours upon hours, 420 hours of sweat equity labor in each home. to make it their own, to make this house a home. And then to watch Jack, this stoic engineer of a man, to quietly weep. And as the tears rolled down his face, they weren't tears of sadness, they weren't tears of grief, but rather they were tears of gratitude. And the only words he could muster to speak in that moment were, "I'd do it all again. I'd do it all again. Because I know what God's love looks like, and I just want to show it to others." For Jack, there was a clear path for the way that he wanted to take the next step in his journey of faith and in his journey of discipleship and service in the community. For you all, your next step might be as simple as writing a thank you card or calling a friend or neighbor, are walking alongside someone who's new in the faith and taking them under your wing. You might be someone who's ready to take the next step in your giving, in your financial giving. And as we pray about that together, I hope that's part of your conversation with God. You might be someone who's ready to take the next step in an act of service. And if so, we always have opportunities for you to be involved in the life of our church, in a small group, or in a mission project out in our greater Rochester community. Today, you'll have an opportunity to take a simple next step through prayer, because as you leave our worship service today, we have attached the prayer labels that you wrote out last week onto water bottles. I grabbed one on my way in today, and it's for someone in need of a peaceful spirit in the midst of healing and sickness. And they're simply asking a prayer for God's mercy to meet them during this difficult time. So this afternoon after the service, as I quench my thirst, as I down this water bottle, with every sip I take, I'm going to be praying for this individual who's on a journey of healing, who needs to be reminded of God's love and mercy. You'll be able to take that next step too, because we have water bottles for you at the back door. We also have more copies of this Generous Life devotional book, and I hope you'll grab one of those if you didn't get one last week. It's a simple 28-day devotional. The devotionals are about 200 words each. They take me about 3 minutes to get through. I keep one in my purse, I keep one in my car, and I'm a pastor, so I get 3 copies. I keep one in my house. If anybody needs one of my 3 copies, please let me know. I don't want to hog them all. But it's been a great way to stay rooted and grounded along this journey and to be reminded that I'm not alone as I'm prayerfully considering what my next step is. Brothers and sisters, we are loved by a good and generous God who meets us right where we are, accepts us where we are, and wants to take us to the next step. Not because we need to do anything to earn our love or our salvation or our eternal life, but because that response is rooted in our praise, in our prayers of thanksgiving, and in our gratitude. Will you pray with me? Loving God, you are so good to us, and we seek to be open and accepting of the love that you shower us with each and every day. Help us to see our value and our worth as your beloved children and accept the abundant life and love that your Son Jesus has to offer us. As we accept it, O God, for ourselves, help us to respond to it. Help us to be active participants in it. Help us to love and serve you in the way that Jesus did when he came to earth and walked among us. Amen.